and welcome back to a timely BenHeck.com podcast. I am Ben Heckendorn, and I just ate some pizza.
Yes, it was rather unfortunate pizza. And I am Jason Jones, I guess.
Why was it unfortunate?
Because it had, like, shit on it.
Oh. Oh, the Supreme crap?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but I'll eat it. Sorry.
That's all right. I wasn't terribly hungry anyway. I had a late lunch, so...
That's good.
No big deal.
Well, what happened was, I told Jones I wanted to record a podcast, and I realized that we already did one last week. I was kind of screwed up from my trip, but so we just recorded this one ahead of time, and we'll release it at the right time, so...
Oh, because I was going to say, you know, we could just make up for lost time, you know, and...
Release two in a week.
Bring it out early.
It's like just here, like Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we didn't do one for like a month, so here's two in 2 weeks.
Now how much would you pay? Yeah, so today we're going to talk about movie stuff. Jones and I are going to argue about the first Transformers movie and the new one.
Okay.
Also, we're going to talk about like, some movies that are coming down the pipe, such as Ghostbusters 3. And apparently the game came out today, though neither of us have played it. By yes. Today, I mean Tuesday, the 16th
of June, and in then, the year of our Lord, 2009.
Thank you. That was a little verbose, but we might talk about some game stuff, too, because there have been some like, Xbox 720 rumors. And finally, I don't know. I have this theory that the Avatar movie that James Cameron is making is not going to be all that. So we will discuss.
That's a hell of a theory.
Yeah. So, what do you want to, shall we start with? Oh, wait, games we've been playing. What have you been playing, Jones?
I've been playing Infamous on the PS3, and I beat it last night for the second time, this time on hard mode, playing Evil. It's a pretty cool game. When I first got going with it, I was a little concerned that it was going to be a bit repetitive, but... It kind of changed things up a bit when you get to like the second and third islands, which was kind of nice. And there's still a little repetition, but you always get that with sandbox type games or whatever. But it's a pretty cool game. It's, you know, one of those where you can be good or evil, and then like certain actions you choose dictate how the story goes, and it can, you know, change, you know, kind of dramatically what happens throughout the story depending on what you do. And how people will react to you and whatnot. One thing I thought, I won't completely give this away, but there was one thing that was kind of cheap in it, where there's a character who dies at some point in the game, and no matter if you play through it the good or evil way, the person dies, even though you're given a sadistic choice, like in Spider-Man, at the end.
Well, do your impression of Spider-Man at the end.
I have an impression.
I know you like impersonating the Green Goblin in that movie.
Here's a sadistic choice, Spider-Man. Or whatever the hell he says. I know he says sadistic choice.
What does he say earlier in that movie?
Godspeed, Speedman.
Wait, no, before that.
No, he
that.
Actually doesn't say that, but... out, am I?
No, before that.
Jesus.
You know the classic line.
What the hell does he say?
In the lab?
Come on, you're gonna kick yourself.
Back to formula!
Of course, yes.
There we go.
What about sleep?
Yes! I haven't watched the first movie in quite a while. I should watch that.
But
it's very, I mean, it's no Spider-Man 2, of course, what movie is, except for Wimbledon.
Yes.
Okay, Infamous.
But anyway, so you get this choice, and you have one of two options, and the options are the same, no matter which way you go. But the person still dies either way.
Kind of like the end of Bioshock.
Like, they kind of cheated.
Two different endings weren't really that different at all.
Yeah, to some extent, but... The ending to the game is a bit different either way, because, you know, you can either be, like, kind of the hero or kind of the villain, depending on how you go through it, but...
Can you be the hero the city needs?
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I liked it, so it's a PS3 exclusive.
Don't you, like, suck up electricity and shoot it at people?
Yeah, yeah. So you go around, because, yeah, all of your powers are from, like, having electricity, so, like, when you run out, you'll go around to, like, a generator or something and suck energy out of it, and then you can blast people and stuff, and then if you're evil, you get different powers than if you're good and everything. Mm. So, it's pretty cool.
Well, what about this Ghostbusters game? Are you going to pick that up?
I might. I don't know, it looks pretty cool. It's been getting good reviews, and from what I've read, it's basically like playing a Ghostbusters movie. So you're like some new guy, and apparently your character is testing all of Egon's new weapons he comes out with. And so you're running around with the regular Ghostbusters, and they're all like the actual actors who voiced them in the movies. And I guess it's pretty decent that way. And I guess Toys R Us has some sort of sweet deal this week where if you buy it there, you get a $20 gift card with it, so it's not bad.
You could buy a new Wii game with the $20.
I could. I could get Boom Blocks or something.
Yes.
Or I could get, what the hell's that? God, what is it? I just read about this stupid game the other day. It's called, like, Let's Something. And the whole point of it is that, like, you take your game case, you set it on a table, you put the Wiimote on it, and then you, like, I think it's called Let's Tap, and then you tap on the game case, and then how the Wiimote moves on the game case dictates what happens on the screen. It's by the guy who created Sonic the Hedgehog, no less. I was just like, that sounds like about the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever heard of.
The guy who invented the Learjet also invented the 8-track, so... You know, that doesn't count.
What do you got against 8-tracks?
We had to wait for the whole thing for the song to come back. I guess it's people true. Were more patient in the 70s. It's like, waka-chicka, waka-chicka, man. Waka-chicka, waka-chicka, man. I wanted to hear Boogie on My Weed Woman again. I guess I'm going to wait for the whole thing to loop. And it had 4 tracks, not 8. I mean, I guess they were stereo, but...
Yeah.
God damn it. Okay, so...
So, yeah, so Infamous and Ghostbusters, what have you been playing? You're now a Peggle master.
Oh, yeah, I beat Peggle. It was really awesome. The final round, it was that, well, I don't know if it was the final round, but it's the one where there was a big yin-yang symbol in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And the only ball left to hit was under it. So I actually did, and I was on my last ball, and I actually bounced the ball off the edge of the ball bucket, and I hit it. And then I think I also hit the blue peg, the last blue peg first, and then it, so I got like 3 achievements at once.
For that, yeah.
It was pretty tits.
Nice. Peggle's kind of like digital Plinko, for those of you who don't know. And, well, if you don't know what Plinko is, well, then I guess you're out of luck.
And if you don't have Peggle for your Xbox or whatever system aside, just go get it. I was, when I was at Baltimore, I guess I could talk about Boston. We could talk about that too. I was at the bar eating because what I found out is if you sit down at the restaurant, there's one menu, but if you sit down at the bar, there's a different menu, which is also much cheaper.
Nice.
Like half price.
Oh.
So, anyway, this woman was sitting there. And she was like, are you here with the Games for Health convention? I'm like, yes. And she's like, do you play video games? And I'm like, yes. And it wasn't Kate Beckinsale, though, but the voice might make you
think
that.
Yeah, she didn't sound British.
Yeah. Anyway, and she's like, well, I'd like this breakout, or some sort of, I don't know, sound like some sort of breakout game on her cell phone. And she was talking about that. And I'm like, well, you know, if you like breakout, you'll love Peggle. And she's like, well, what is it? And I'm like, well, it's like, Plinko. I'm like, just buy it. But, so Peggle came up, and it's a cool game.
Do they have that for cell phones?
I think that's actually kind of where it first came from, was like crap that. Like, the DS version has been out for a while.
Ah, okay.
Oh, I tell you what, I mean, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I had to send in my Xbox for repair, and once again, I got it back quite quickly. It was like a week.
Well, you said you got the... What, they received it, and then they shipped it to you on the same day? Like, you got the emails saying they got your bad one, And then you got another email like hours later saying, oh, we've fixed it and shipped it back to you.
But then you get a letter which says, to expedite your repair, we actually just gave you a new console.
Yeah.
However, they don't transfer the licenses now. You have to do that manually.
I never had them do it when mine got...
But then it says, go onto your Xbox and re-download everything you've ever downloaded. It's like, oh, that's easy to remember. That's what Peggle made me think of that.
Yeah.
You go to your download history on Xbox.com.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much shit I downloaded off that.
Oh, all the Rock Band stuff. Yep. And they used to have a thing. Did you look for that thing on Xbox.com?
The license transfer tool?
Yeah.
You can only do that once every 12 months.
Yep.
And since it was last June and my first Xbox died...
Oh, so it's still within the year.
I probably would be able to do it maybe like into July.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do it then. I don't even know if I'm going to hook up the console I got back. I think I might just sell it to Mike or something.
Hmm.
So I can rock a Jasper. Of course, I thought that with my other one. I was like, oh, I'll get this newer Falcon. It won't break.
That's how it goes.
Old Fallout.
Fallout took a piece out of it, apparently.
I guess. And Rock Band 2 was on that same console. Remember the day we wanted to play the Endless Setlist with the steel bladder?
Yeah.
And we installed it to the hard drive just to make sure there was less points of failure.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing we could talk about is when I was at Games for Health, I got to meet some of the people from Harmonix, and they were quite cool.
Yes.
One of them, I don't think he had a business card at the time, so all I remember is his first name. He was like the spitting image of the Tori Belleci guy from Mythbusters.
Oh, yeah. Like you described him to me, one of the young guys.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, he looks just like the guy from Mythbusters. And he was cool to talk to, and we discussed lips. And then there was the community manager person, Sean Baptiste, I believe.
Yep.
And I think, is his name like Sean Baby on the forums or something?
It's Harmonix, Sean, like HMX.
Oh,
Sean.
I must be thinking of someone else. He was cool, and we actually had the Rock Band party with him, and... crap. Yeah, I think we got to play Rock Band Beatles.
Yeah,
I guess that's something we could talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Wait, afterwards he said it's okay to talk about, so that's cool. We were sitting there playing Rock Band, which is fine, and we had, like, all this beer that Ben had got up, and it was, like, $200 worth of hotel beer, which is, like, a 12-pack. But that was very nice of him. Also, I hate on the coast you can't get Miller products. No, you can get Miller Lite, but that's it. But you can get Corona anywhere, so that's good. Anyway, so we were playing Rock Band. It was pretty cool. And then he's like, And he pulls up this disc, and it's a build of Beatles. So we got to play it. And now, I remember in the last podcast, I said, I'm not sure if this game's going to be big, right?
But then you kind of got talked out of it as we discussed it.
Right, but I totally got talked out of it last week. Well, here's an example. We were sitting there and playing the game. And then the guy breaks this out, and there's a couple of people there. There's one person in particular I've been talking to, and she's like, I've played this game, like, once. And she, like, had no concept of the genre, basically.
Yeah.
As soon as the Beatles game came out, she was all into it. It was insane. And everybody was, and it was really cool. And anyway, it has, like, three-part harmonies, so you can actually hook up three microphones. And let's see what else. The art style is completely different. It's quite cool-looking. The Beatles, they look pretty much like the Beatles. They don't look... Like in the intro cartoon that they have for that they showed at E3, they look kind of skinny and whatnot, but the art style in the game itself is not like that. It just pretty much looks like the Beatles. But yeah, it's really cool. I think it will be a big hit.
I think the one big thing with it is that everybody's got all this. I think we talked about this last time, but it's like everybody already has all this like plastic instrument shit. So all they need to do is just go out and buy the game. It's not like they need to go and buy the big bundle this time.
Right, and if they want it, I guess they can get it.
Yeah, but most people won't need to. It's just $60, and boom, you've got like 45 Beatles songs or whatever the hell it's
going to be. So hopefully they
don't
manufacture 10,000 different, or they don't over-manufacture the kit, because, it's probably not where the real money is for this one.
Yeah. One thing that'll be cool about that, too, is, like, compared to the Metallica and Aerosmith games, I think it's all going to be Beatles.
It's all Beatles.
It doesn't have, like, you know, bands that inspired them or anything, because, I mean, like, on the Aerosmith and Metallica games, they're focused on those bands, but only, like, 20 to 25 of the songs on the disc are from those bands.
And especially on Aerosmith, where there's such obvious and stupid omissions in their library.
Yeah.
It's like, why the fuck are we listening to the Black Crowes? But we don't get, I don't want to miss a thing. Actually, I think that one was on there.
Yeah.
We don't get, it's amazing. You know what I mean?
Yep. Didn't get, I don't think Crazy was on there. Or
there wasn't much from the Get a Grip album.
Like Living on the Edge was on there, which was cool. But otherwise, yeah, it was definitely lacking some of their big hits. But
oh, I think the thing I was about to mention before.
Big ones, as it were.
Nice. I need to take a permanent vacation.
Lord.
Anyway, what I was going to mention before that guy called was also during the Rock Band Beatles game, it cuts to close-ups of women screaming in the audience, which is really cool.
Hopefully they faint and stuff, too.
I didn't see any of them faint, but anyway, I believe it was the same build that was at E3, so I guess that's why it's apparently it's okay to talk about, so there it is.
Nice.
But it was quite an honor to do it. So
yeah.
For the record, the first song I've ever played in the Beatles Rock Band is I Saw Her Standing There.
Nice.
Nice. Oh, and we also sang Boston because we were in Boston. So, yeah, that's my story. But, oh, games I've been playing. Other than that, I guess some Call of Duty. World at War.
The good one.
The map pack isn't out for PC yet.
Oh, no.
Ugh, fuckers.
Maybe
give me my free map pack.
Maybe you should be a console gamer.
No. Okay, well, wow, we managed. Oh, I guess, you know, I had to. Crap, that LCD screen is in the same model.
What?
Oh, fuck. Oh, no. There's a goddamn squirrel out there again.
It's probably spying on you.
They don't let you shoot guns in city limits, I don't think.
No, that's generally frowned upon.
Yeah. Okay. So what should we talk about?
That'd probably get you evicted.
What? All right, so we talk about Transformers, Ghostbusters 3, or Avatar?
I don't know, you pick.
Okay, how about Transformers?
Sure.
Okay, so the new Transformers movie is coming out, and I thought the first Transformers movie was pretty stupid.
Shit. That movie was cool.
It took forever for anything to happen.
Full horseshit, right at the beginning, that, what is it, Blackout or whatever the hell he's called, shows up at that military base and blows the living fuck out of it.
Yeah, but then it's like an hour of Shia LaBeouf, like, jacking off.
Oh, horseshit. There's all kinds of crap going on in that movie.
And why do they make that guy, like, take off his clothes and chain him into a fire post or whatever? What was that all about?
To fuck with him.
But then he just recaptured them, like 10 minutes later. It was like Indiana Jones. He kept getting recaptured.
Yeah, except he had an excuse because he was Shia LaBeouf.
Actually, Transformers is a lot better than the Indiana Jones. I'll grant it that.
I don't know. It was cool. It had big metal things fighting each other and shit blowing up. It's what you want in a summer movie.
But, well, I guess it is cool that they had all American vehicles.
Yeah.
Although, the Ford Mustang, it was so horrid up, you couldn't even tell it was a Mustang. I didn't even know it was a Mustang until, like, the second time I saw the movie. Which, I've just admitted to seeing it twice, which doesn't really help my argument.
Well, you aren't much of a car guy, then, because it's pretty obvious it's a Mustang. For my money, anyway, but
see, I was all pumped because I heard a Mustang fights a Chevy in it, and I'm like, this sounds like the best movie ever. But in the movie, I don't know, did they even really fight? Because
yeah, they fought, because that was when Bumblebee fought against him.
But didn't it happen off screen? I mean, wasn't like
there was a bit of it that happened off screen.
Was trying to kill her or something?
Yeah,
or
there was that stuff, and then he got what was it? What did he grab? Did he grab some sort of drill?
Oh, it was like a sawzall, and they cut it in half.
Yeah, some sort of
thing. But then it turned into
like
a cell phone or something?
Yeah, because it was like a boombox thing or something.
Here's what I want to know. If these robots can just, like, arbitrarily, like, become other machines whenever they want, then how can they get damaged? All right, case in point. They're riding inside of Bumblebee, which is now a Camaro, which is fine because Volkswagen can suck it.
Yeah.
And she insults the car, even though it's a cool old Camaro, with a great engine, but she still insults it. So he dumps them out, and then he, like, scans a new one, and instantly becomes a new Chevy Camaro. Yeah. Okay, fine. But later in the movie, he gets his legs blown off, and apparently that's a problem? How does that work?
I don't know.
See?
Maybe there's some sort of basic level that they have to be able to function at or something, and you know, I don't know. Like, they have basic components, and then they can expand them into whatever, but...
All right, here's the question.
I don't know.
If... Okay, so if I wear glasses, right? So if I were to go into, like, a cave in Antarctica and drop my glasses, a map would be encoded onto them somehow?
Only if you got zapped by Megatron's frozen corpse.
He must have really sucked. He, like, lands on Earth and freezes. I mean, what a bitch.
Pretty much. He hit about the worst spot you could.
Maybe it was during the Ice Age. Let's see, what else was dumb about that movie? I know you're a big fan of the Australian chick, but her entire subplot with that chubby black guy was completely pointless.
That's the one thing I will agree about with that movie is that, yeah, all that stuff could have gone. Because it's just completely superfluous and doesn't need to be in there.
Yeah, but, like, they're eating donuts.
But she's pretty hot, and she's got that cool accent. So, I'll let it slide. But, yeah.
I have a hard thing letting...
If I were working in the editing room, though, yeah, I probably would have cut that stuff out.
It's like, do we really need to see these people playing DDR? I mean, Michael Bay has this affinity for showing people doing bullshit.
And... Hey, his movies make money. I guess he knows what he's doing. It's like, what is it? Probably the only movie he's made that didn't make money was The Island.
Yeah.
And that was actually where he tried to, you know, be a bit more high concept.
So yeah, it was still definitely a Michael Bay movie. I mean...
That movie was cool.
I liked it. Okay. I like Transformers better because it had robots.
I don't know. I actually like The Island the best of any of his movies.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. But, oh well. Yeah, I don't think Transformers is a perfect movie or anything, but I enjoyed it. It pretty much gave me what I wanted. And, you know, that's all it needed to do.
It needs less humans.
I liked the humans better in this than I did in the animated movie. Because in the animated movies, the humans were completely freaking worthless and lame. Or at least in this, I don't know, they didn't grate on my nerves.
Hey, Rain Wilson's in the new movie.
Yes, he is.
Hey, did you notice them? I don't know what his name is in real life, but the Andy Bernard character in The Office.
Oh, Ed Helms.
Yes, he's the first person to actually make a successful movie.
Yeah.
Well, besides Steve Carell, but I guess that movie doesn't really count as much. Because The Hangover is like doing big biz.
Yeah.
But like all the rest of them, like Jenna Fisher and John Krasinski and
Rain Wilson,
they've all just bombed out.
Yeah.
Although I did finally see Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Well, Rain was in Juno, but granted, he wasn't like a big part of it.
And Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fun and fact. My super ex-girlfriend.
Oh, I didn't see that thing.
Oh, I'm sure it's shit. Ivan Reitman needs to just quit. If Ivan Reitman ends up directing the new Ghostbusters movie, I won't go see it, because... Really, when was the last time
he was any good? Didn't he do Evolution?
Yeah, he did.
I liked that movie.
Oh, I didn't.
It was basically
it.
Ghostbusters with, like, aliens, but that's fine.
What else did he do? 6 Days and Seven Nights?
Yeah.
Eh.
Which, that was alright.
Yeah, it was okay. Who did Dave? Was that Ivan Reitman? Or was
that was Reiner, wasn't it? Or no, not Reiner. Who the hell did... Maybe that was Reitman. I don't remember.
Groundhog Day was good, but that was Harold Ramis, who directed Year One, which is probably going to be the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd take a lot to top Love Guru.
Okay, I don't... Well, no. Well, I was just going to say, Year One, you'd think it would have to like at least follow some sort of like... I don't know, timeline or whatever. Like, Love Guru, like, there were no rules, apparently.
Yes.
But, yeah, I can't imagine it being as bad as Love Guru, but it's... God, it looks awful. It's the Year One, and Cain and Abel are there? I mean, what?
Oh, it's gonna be shit. There's no doubt about that.
I never saw that Life of Brian movie. Have you seen that?
Well, that movie's awesome. The Monty Python one? Oh, God, it's...
That one's about, like, a Jesus-esque character, right?
Yeah, like, he's the kid who got born down the street from Jesus on the same night Jesus was born.
Oh, okay.
And, like, at the beginning of the movie, that's what's happening, and the three wise men come in at first and give all the gifts and stuff, but then they go back outside, and they see that the star moved down the street, And so they come back in and push the mom out of the way and take all the gifts away and, like, slap the baby.
Of course.
And then it, you know, fast forwards, like, 20 years into the future or whatever, and, of course, Jesus is running around doing whatever, and then Brian's off doing his thing, and he gets all mixed up in all of these goings-on, and it's funnier than shit. It's, like, to me, that's easily the funniest thing the Monty Python group ever did. It's way funnier than, like, Holy Grail, and it's actually more of a, like, cohesive story instead of just a bunch of, like, sketches like all their other stuff pretty much is.
I'll have to see that sometime.
Yeah, it's funny.
Well, I'm sure Year One would just be considered a low-rent version of that.
Yeah, like from the very low-rent.
So apparently they made Superbad, but it takes place in biblical times. I mean, that's that's what I get from it.
Who's in it with Michael Cera?
Jack Black.
Oh, it is Jack Black.
I'm sure Ben Kingsley snuck his way in there someplace, too.
Probably. He's probably in G.I. Joe, too.
Ugh. We could segue this. So, they're making Ghostbusters 3, and, you know, it's like, oh, from the writers of The Office, but the same people also wrote Year One, which I just cannot imagine that being good.
No.
Ugh.
Not from what I've seen in the trailer, anyway, that's for sure.
So, I mean, would you have any hope for Ghostbusters 3? I mean, Ghostbusters 2 wasn't very good.
Ghostbusters 2 wasn't very good either. It did have Viggo, though.
The precursor to Benny.
The Scourge of Carpathia. But
on a mountain of pain and a castle of blood, I served on a throne of skulls.
Hell yeah. Like, Viggo was an awesome villain, but yeah, the movie itself was just kind of flimsy. But I don't know. I'd have to see what they do with it. I guess it'd be interesting to see what the story is in this Ghostbusters game, because that's supposed to basically happen like 2 years or something after the second movie.
Yeah, like 1992 or something, or 1991.
Yeah, and like Ramis and Aykroyd wrote it, I think.
Dan Aykroyd's like, I'm going to stop making my fine vodka and write a movie.
Or a game.
That too. Well, I did buy a bottle of his vodka, so obviously I'm helping out Ghostbusters 3.
Well, there you go.
It would be great if to like meet Dan Aykroyd at Woodman's when he was selling that vodka and ask him for a list of the ingredients. Because, of course, he'd have a whole list ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's Dan Aykroyd. He loves lists.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I wouldn't watch that movie if they came out with it, because, well...
Oh, it's going to happen.
We went to Indy 4, so...
So, like, is the Apatow crew involved with it?
I would hope so. I'd at least have some hope for it then. I don't think everything they touch turns to gold or anything, but I've been entertained by everything that they've done.
Yeah, you seem to be a big fan, so...
Yeah. I mean, I think 40-Year-Old Virgin is his best, and then everything since has kind of steadily been a little less funny, but it's still funnier than the majority of stuff out there.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go through the list of likely subjects, suspects will be in this movie and say, you know, how likely it is that they'll be in the movie, okay? Okay, Jason Segel.
Probably. Well, I don't know. I'd like to see him in it. That would get me in a seat for sure.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say Jenna Fisher, but there's no way they'd have Jenna Fisher as a secretary because...
No.
She's a secretary. Unless she was a Ghostbuster, but I don't think they'd do that either. She might be the love interest.
Yeah, that could be.
All right, Elizabeth Banks.
Yes! If she's not playing Cortana in the Halo movie.
Anyway. That's right. All right, Seth Rogen. Like,
yeah,
1,000% likely or just 900%?
I'd say 100% easy.
But what they should do is they should have the same type of characters as the old crew.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's lazy, but it would make sense, so...
Oh, yeah.
So what would Seth Rogen be? I mean...
God, I don't know, what would he be? Would he be kind of the Aykroyd?
I mean, I know he was Harold Ramis' son in Knocked Up.
Yeah. He'd probably be like the Aykroyd type character.
Okay, how about we do this? Why don't we discuss what actors would be good in those kind of roles now? Not necessarily who will end up in it because it's an Apatow joint. So, yeah, like starting with the Aykroyd character, Peter Venkman.
God,
he was kind of like the mouth of Ghostbusters.
Yeah. God, who the hell was it? Seems like we had a good pick for that.
I bet you Justin Long will end up in this movie.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know if he'd be good for Aykroyd because he's not really sleazy enough.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't have like 10 new people. They should have, they'll probably have 4.
Yeah, that's what they should have. I mean, they'll have to have a black guy.
It'll,
that'll be Craig Robinson.
Exactly. There's no doubt. You bet the farm on that one. He will be in Ghostbusters 3. The dock worker from The Office.
Yeah, Daryl.
Well, in 1984, having a black guy in a movie who didn't get killed was quite progressive.
True.
So maybe this movie will break down even more barriers. And one of them will be
maybe
a woman.
Maybe they'll have a Latino guy in it or something.
Well, there'll be a woman Ghostbuster, so who's that going to be? Or she'll start out as a secretary, and then she'll become a Ghostbuster.
Just like Pam on The Office.
Of course, now that wouldn't work because it'd be too much like The Office.
Well, it's being written by people from The Office, so.
Right, well, they should be self-conscious enough not
to
do that.
Will B.J. Novak be in it?
He'd be a good villain, like he was in The Office. Yeah. You know, like the evil. Of course, there's no way in fucking hell the bad guy will work at the EPA in the new one.
You know what would be cool is if Steve Carell played the villain.
Like an evil bureaucrat?
Yeah.
That could work.
That'd be kind of
just
fun.
Play it like evil.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, you just have to be like totally sleazy, but I think it'd be fun to see him play kind of a evil guy. Because he could definitely pull it off.
Could he? We've never seen it before.
He's a good actor. I don't know. Like, he was, like, in Little Miss Sunshine, he played, like, the suicidal gay poet laureate or something like that. And he was,
wow,
like, really good in that. And then even, you know, in stuff like 40-Year-Old Virgin and whatever. I mean, it's, you know, a comedic role, but still he brought a lot to the character. I'm sure he could pull that off.
Yeah. There's always going to be evil bureaucrat, though. I mean, it's a Ghostbusters movie.
Yes. Gotta love that.
It can't be the EPA this time, because EPA is awesome now, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So it would be like Venkman.
Venkman. Wait, you mean
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, yeah. Oh, shoot. It'd be like, I don't know, because I really don't know who would be a modern equivalent to him.
Yeah.
Maybe Matthew McConaughey?
Crazy.
Really, they're talking about putting him in the A-Team movie.
Well, yeah. I could see him being in a cheese fest like that.
Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey, and Liam Neeson. And of course, it's going to be like some rapper guy for B.A. Baracus. But
well, of course.
Still, I mean, that's 75% cool.
Yeah, I'd go to that.
Oh, gosh.
Like, Fool's Gold was fun, and McConaughey was in that. So.
I think he should be in more movies. He seems like, he's kind of like the same thing with Vin Diesel and The Rock. He should just make, like, a Romancing the Stone kind of movie.
Yeah, that's kind of what Fool's Gold is, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not as good, but it's in that vein. It was pretty entertaining. It's worth checking out.
Okay, so you have to have a scientist guy, a kind of a ghost geek, and then Ernie Hudson was like the working class Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I don't know. It's hard to.
Yeah, it's hard to put people in those roles. I mean, you can kind of see what Hollywood would do, probably, but like what they should do is like way trickier.
B.J. Novak.
But I could see them. Well, they'd have to inject Rogan into, like, the Venkman role, probably.
Yeah.
He's not
actually,
smooth,
Jack Black
though.
would be better as that.
Yeah.
Because think about Jack Black looking King Kong, where he was kind of like a snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
He could do that.
Yeah.
I would actually rather see Jack Black in this movie than Seth Rogen. There's just something about Seth Rogen I don't care for. I don't know what it is. Maybe the fact that he has the same hairstyle in every movie.
Yeah.
Except for Observe and Report, which nobody saw because he didn't have the same hairstyle. Oh, Anna Faris. Maybe they'll throw her in this movie.
That'd be cool. I like her.
Actually,
she's funny.
That could work.
Yeah. Yeah, she's funny as shit. Like, she's just one of those people that, like, even if she's in complete garbage, she, like, somehow manages to, like, elevate it. Scary Movies are a good example.
Oh, what
not
if they,
that those
what,
are very good, but
maybe they'll stick in Tina Fey or Amy Poehler. How about that?
Ugh. God. Baby Mama Busters. But, yeah, Anna Faris would be cool. It's like the House Bunny was pretty funny, and it was all because of her, basically.
Huh.
So, it was kind of like a Legally Blonde, but instead of, you know, being Reese Witherspoon. She was a Playboy bunny, so.
Right. Yeah, maybe she could be hired as a secretary, you know, and then she'd be like a dumb blonde.
Yeah.
But then she proves to be more than that, so it could be kind of a postmodern look at sexism.
There you go.
Yeah. And of course, Annie Potts would mentor her. or Liam Neeson.
Yeah, it'd be like Annie Potts' last week at work or something, like she's, you know, retiring and...
So it would be cool if they
the new chick.
Recreated, or like if they had to start over from scratch, like if they recreated the old firehouse in the first one, and everything was still there, but it was all like decrepit.
Yeah.
You know, like the car and the ghost containment unit, or...
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And they have to get... Okay, who should do the score? Because there's another big problem with the second movie, is like Elmer Bernstein didn't do the score, and it sucked.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be Danny Elfman, since it's Hollywood, but who should it be?
He actually did the score for Milk, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, it's actually, like, a score for him that isn't just, like, completely derivative of everything he's done over the last 10 years.
He doesn't even really seem that derivative even more, anymore, though.
Yeah, it's all just more generic,
bland,
I guess.
At least
yeah.
It used to be, like, you'd hear a Danny Elfman score, and you're like, wow, that's a Danny Elfman score.
Yeah.
But now they just... But Milk was good, the score was good?
It was good for, you know, the type of movie it was. And that was actually a really good movie, too. I was surprised.
Huh.
Yeah, they for that type of movie, they probably would try to get Elfman for it.
His Men in Black score is pretty good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And his Planet of the Apes one was awesome.
Wait a minute. This is a Will... Will Smith would probably be in this movie because it's a Sony movie, but... actually, no. Because they're also making Men in Black 3, so I don't think he'll be in it.
Jesus Christ.
Ugh.
Now there's Ghostbusters with aliens.
Yep. Well, I mean, it wasn't hard. Like, hey, let's make a movie that's Ghostbusters with aliens. Cha-ching!
Yeah.
It worked.
It's like what Tomb Raider should have been. Indiana Jones with boobs.
I know,
except
how hard
they screwed
is this?
It up.
Oh, but they're rebooting that franchise, didn't you hear?
Who's going to be in that?
Oh, of course they want
Megan Fox.
Because this could... We're going to talk about this. Well, Megan Fox, who's been in exactly one movie, is apparently the hottest thing in Hollywood.
Yeah, And it's not like she had anything to do with the success of that movie.
And you know, it's like no one really talked about her when that came out. Really.
Yeah,
it's
been like in the
then?
Last year.
It's like, was she any... She didn't, like, change in hotness, really. I mean...
No.
Yeah, well, yeah. What's, well, like, in the last year, even though she still continued to make zero movies.
Yeah. I think she might have been in some smaller movie, but it didn't do anything, obviously. But, yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, she's, like, the new Angelina Jolie, because, you know, Angelina Jolie's, you know, she's only getting older, obviously.
Well, she keeps pumping out babies.
Well, she's the most powerful person in entertainment, you know.
Oh, really? I thought that was Oprah.
Nope, she actually knocked Oprah off the top spot.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Even though Oprah makes like 10,000 times more than she does. Yeah, it's
how the hell is she the most powerful? She finally had a hit with Wanted.
No, look it up. She was like Forbes number one most powerful celebrity last year.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, it's complete bullshit.
Forbes must be full of shit.
Well, don't worry. Megan Fox, who will probably be in about 3 movies by the time she's that age, she'll be the most popular, powerful actress of all time. Well, okay. Let's move on .org to the next topic.
Whatever that may be. Oh, Avatar?
Yes, Avatar.
The Last Airbender?
No, just regular Avatar.
Oh, okay. Shit-tar?
Anyway, it is my... concerned that movie might not be that good.
I don't think you're alone on that.
Why? Everyone seems to be all frothy about it.
I'm not.
Oh.
I haven't really given a shit about that movie since I first heard about it.
Now, as you probably know, I am the ultimate James Cameron fan.
Yes.
But...
Like, what was that other movie he was working on for a while? That one sounded more interesting.
Oh,
than
Battle Angel Alita.
Yeah. Even though that still wouldn't have been... anything to really get me excited, but it sounded more
interesting. It had robots. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, we read an article on Entertainment Weekly or whatever. There were like 10 reasons you get excited for Avatar, and they listed them all off. And I was just thinking, you know, if this was any other filmmaker, if it was like George Lucas, every one of these would be points of contention, like, that it's not going to be good. Like, there's actually one part of it, they're like, oh, the army comes down, but they have to fight these primitive creatures, and the creatures have bows and arrows and whatnot, and then they have to fight the army. Just like the Ewoks. And then they tried to spin that as a good thing, and I'm like, oh, come on.
Which, it is a good thing.
No, it isn't.
You don't like the Ewoks?
I like Return of the Jedi, but... No.
Oh, you're one of those.
What?
Oh, the people that don't like the Ewoks. Ewoks are cool.
Well, they're okay. They're better than Gungans, because they don't talk.
Oh. What are you talking about? They go like, do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da-do.
The Ewoks rolled up on the Gungan village, they would take them to town. Because the Gungans have Jar Jar Binks, he would just like destroy everything.
But Jar Jar was like kicking ass in that battle. He was awesome.
You mean after he said, steady?
Yep, steady.
Anyway, I'm just worried about it. I don't know.
I think it's probably going to be a bomb myself, because they've spent, what, like $250, $300 million on it, probably?
$300 million, I'm sure, at least.
And it's like, for my money, the only thing this movie has going for it is that it's going to be in 3D, and people seem to be really...
Well, every goddamn movie's in 3D these days.
But it seems like a lot of people are really going to, like, 3D showings of movies like Up. A ton of the money from that has been from 3D showings.
Yeah,
it seems
true.
Like people are really into that. So, to me, that's like the only real thing it's got going for it, because it's like, otherwise, the common person doesn't even know about the existence of this movie yet. So unless it has some sort of incredible marketing campaign, I don't really see anybody giving a shit
but
about
But there's a
this.
Love story.
Sorry.
Well, and also, IMAX has... scheduled all IMAX theaters to show that exclusively for 3 months.
For 3 months? Wow. Well, that'll help it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because people seem to like going to IMAX, too,
well,
so...
The thing is, Cameron's always been set up to fail a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And he's always succeeded in spite of everything. But this time, he's being set up for success, and... Look back at his history. Like, Terminator...
Oh, yeah.
It was a low-budget... Basically, it was like a Roger Corman movie. Aliens was a sequel to a popular movie, but it was at Fox, so it was kind of difficult. Abyss was at the time the most expensive movie ever made. Terminator was... He had to like basically redeem himself after the failure of Abyss. And
yeah.
True Lies was very expensive. It was the most expensive movie ever made. And it had a very long shoot. And Titanic, well...
Again, the most expensive movie ever made at the time.
But the thing with Titanic was... The only story about it was the expense.
Yeah.
And that's all you heard about. And, you know, the people at, like, you know, Fox were like, well, if we make, like, $180 million, we'll probably be okay, you know. And nobody really expected it to do that much. And
But then it
turned out to be a great movie because people were so concerned with the cost of it, they didn't, like, even think about, like, what a great idea for a movie it was.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, it had everything going for it. It had history... Special effects. It was very funny.
Yeah.
It had a love story.
And it had the whole allure of the Titanic, like where, you know, they go down to it and stuff like that, because that was still fairly fresh in people's minds. That had only been a little over 10 years before when they had actually found the wreckage.
Yep.
And all of that and
Bill Paxton.
So.
Right, but with Avatar, it's a bunch of CGI creatures
of
on a planet.
I mean, who's in that movie?
Sam Worthington's in it.
Yeah, which nobody knows
Michael
who he
Bean
is.
Michael Bean and Sigourney Weaver have both been shoved into it.
Of course.
Michelle Rodriguez is in it for some reason.
Okay.
She'll be the Vasquez character. I bet you anything.
Isn't, what's her name from Star Trek in it, too?
Oh, Uhura?
Uhura, yeah.
Yes, I believe she... I think she's, like, the love interest. Yeah, but, of course, it's motion performance capture. See, that... I know this is another thing I'm getting sick of. It's like... We put a bunch of sensors on your face. It's not animation and it's not filming. Like, what the fuck is it?
Yeah. It's like I hope Zemeckis gets that dick out of his ass and makes, like, a real movie again. I mean, I thought Polar Express was fine and Beowulf was fun and all that, but it's like, where's the guy who made, like, Used Cars and Romancing the Stone and Back to the Future, and, I mean, hell, even, like, Forrest Gump and stuff, you know?
Well, those movies all had technical achievements, but they also involved real actors and real sets. That's another thing I'm concerned about. Yeah, okay, here's the guy who, like, built a 90% replica of the Titanic.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's, like, crashing semis through things, and, you know, he's got full-size Harrier jets in front of blue screens. But now this movie is, like, all on a computer.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And, like, I guess the chick this guy falls in love with is, like, an alien chick. The plot is, it's, like, in the future, and the army wants to take over this planet for their resources, you know, ripped from today's headlines. And the Avatar is, how does it work? Humans can't live on this planet, so there's, like, these hybrid creatures. Like, they basically took the creatures on the planet and, like, made a hybrid version, and basically you can inhabit their consciousness.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the Matrix in a way. So basically,
sounds
Sam
like
Worthington,
a
who's also he's a disabled war veteran, he like doesn't have any legs or anything. He inhabits one of these creatures' consciousness, and then he goes on the planet to do shit, and then falls in love with another creature. That's basically it. Then at the end, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, this sounds like bullshit.
Yeah, I just it's well. No, another thing in that article was Cameron said my inspiration for this was just about every science fiction book I ever read. And I'm like, oh, that's terrible. So, but, again, like, James Cameron is my favorite filmmaker, and I just... I'm going to go see it, but I have pause.
Yeah. Well, I love De Palma, and The Black Dahlia was a steaming piece of shit. So, it can happen.
Yeah, Cameron is due to lay an egg one of these years, because...
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will about some of his weaker movies, but he's never made a bad movie.
Yeah, he's had a good run, so...
And Spielberg, like, cranked out 1941 on, like, what, his third try?
Yeah, it was later than that.
Duel, Sugarland Express, Jaws, Close Encounters. Fifth.
This is his fifth movie, I think, so...
But he really came back.
Yeah.
So that's what'll happen, like, Cameron will make Avatar, and as you predict, it'll bomb, maybe, yeah. And then... They'd be like, oh, crap, I better do something with robots and Kate Winslet's left tit.
And Arnold.
You see, with Titanic, it's like, I see how this could be good. But with this,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I have a sinking feeling. And so much of the stuff he's done, I mean, yeah, if I had all that money, I'd probably rather, like, go around in submarines looking at squids. You know, that'd be fun. But if you, like, look at the movies he's made, he had, like, Aliens of the Deep. Aliens in the title. Then there's another one called Ghost of the Abyss. Abyss in the title. It's like, it seems quite self-indulgent, so I don't know.
Yeah, he seems to be kind of up his ass, so we'll see. Especially since he hasn't let anybody see, like, footage or anything yet.
There was a prop from that movie was at E3. It was like, there's a power loader suit in the movie.
Yeah.
Again, like Aliens. Why did he just remake Aliens?
Well, they're going to make a prequel to Alien now, didn't you hear?
No!
Like, Ridley Scott's apparently writing it, and he's got somebody lined up to direct it already, but the studio apparently only wants him to direct it.
Well, at least they have the right guy doing it, you know, someone could, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, some shampoo and music video director.
Yeah.
But rather have Ridley Scott.
And I was just like, leave it the fuck alone. It's like, Ridley, I know you haven't, like, you know, had anything really since, like, Gladiator and Hannibal that's done anything, but come on.
Yeah. Just going to the well too many times. At least Cameron's doing something different, I guess.
Yeah, I'll give him credit for that. At least to some extent.
What about Tintin? That's all motion capture.
Oh, fuck that thing. Isn't that like some trilogy? Like, Spielberg's doing one, Jackson's doing one, and...
They had a hard time getting the money, so I think they're just doing one for now.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Because wasn't it like Spielberg and Jackson, and then they hadn't figured out who was going to do the other one yet, or some crap like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Jackson, another guy who needs to have a failure... We'll see the Lovely Bones do that.
Didn't you see the Frighteners?
Yeah, but since then he's, you know, made all the Lord of the Rings movies and King Kong, and he seems to think he's God's gift or something from what I've read.
Oh, that brings up another good point. This sounds more like the Fistful podcast, but whatever. Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, like, God. Yeah, that guy. He hasn't done anything, really. I mean, Pan's Labyrinth, I guess, did all right, but both Hellboy movies, they were...
He's like the king of the $60 million grossing movie.
Yeah. Which is exactly what those movies cost to make, too.
Yeah, so basically he treads water. And I mean, I've liked the movies of his I've seen, but I don't get what all the hubbub is about. I mean, basically in all his movies, someone goes into a cave and sees a bunch of creatures with makeup on.
Yeah.
For prosthetics.
What about Mimic?
In that movie, Mira Sorvino went into a sewer and saw a bunch of creatures with makeup on. Think about it. Blade. They go into a sewer and see creatures with makeup on.
Yeah, Blade 2.
Hellboy 1 and 2. All his movies are fucking underground. Like, The Hobbit, the whole time is going to be like, oh, Gollum's Cave, Gollum's Cave. It's like, we're getting to that.
Maybe that's why they got him. It's like, well, he's really good at doing, like, cave sequences. God.
I liked Hellboy a lot. The second one was... It was. Have you seen it yet?
No, I've actually only... His movies, I've only seen Blade 2 and Hellboy.
It's a thematic retread on par with Men in Black 2. It's like the same movie.
Yeah, just not as good.
I was not impressed. I mean, the first movie was so cool. He had like this Nazi zombie guy with a clockwork heart.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
That was pretty cool. And Abe Sapien running around.
Yeah, he was cool too, and... But, yeah, the new one doesn't have that... Remember that new agent guy who was in the first one?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked him, and he's not in the new one for some reason. And Selma Blair has a better haircut, but that's about it. Because you know she was on Kath and Kim, your favorite show.
Oh, God. That abortion. But, yeah, it's...
So, yeah, I mean... Okay, here's another question. You think Transformers is going to make $160 million this first weekend?
Well, I don't know. What is it, a five-day weekend?
I guess it could. I
suppose it might have a chance. I don't know. I'm sure it'll make like 130 to 140 for sure, but...
Well, Dale sent me an email. It says, "Fuck Transformers!"
Wow, is he like telepathic or something?
He says we should see Drag Me to Hell.
Yes. But, I would be kind of surprised if Transformers 2 doesn't make, like, $400 million, though.
So, apparently the box office has been kind of a disappointment so far this summer.
That's what they're saying, but it's like... I get so sick of reading that stuff. Because, you know, they'll be like, oh, you know, this movie performed well, but overall the box office was down, like, 3% this weekend or something. And it's like, oh, boo fucking hiss. It's like it's down 3% from a record... You know, week last year.
Yeah.
It's like, you're still pretty close.
Well,
know,
look at Up. Up will be like probably the top Pixar movie since Finding Nemo. But,
yeah.
Boo-hoo.
But it's
somehow
like
they'll still manage to spin it as bad.
Yeah, it's like they just expect the box office to go up every year, and it's like, you know what? You keep raising the ticket prices, eventually your attendance is going to decline to the point that you won't get the positive returns anymore. To keep breaking records.
Well, is it really the studios that caused the ticket prices to go up?
Yeah, they'd set all that, don't they? Don't they dictate that? Because they get a huge cut of the ticket prices.
They've got to be involved. Yeah.
Because they get a big cut of that.
You know what's kind of interesting? If you look at the movies so far this summer, the ones that have been sequels, like Night at the Museum 2 isn't going to do anything near what the first movie did. And
no.
Terminator... Well, why is it a surprise? I mean, that movie's going to end up just about where, like...
Close to where T3 was. It won't even make it to that, actually.
No, what was it on IMDb where we, like, were looking at the box office
predictions? Yeah.
So far, they've been pretty close.
Yeah, they were pretty close.
What did they say for Terminator? Like, $130 million?
I think they said $150 for T4, but... And then, like, Wolverine, they were pretty much right on, because I think they said, like, $170 for that, and that's pretty much where that's at, and...
But, like, with Up, I mean, Up, like, who would have thought? And, you know, that's...
Yeah.
That'll make more than Star Trek, easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured that would make, like, WALL-E money, but it's probably going to make, like, 40 or 50 million more.
We had to probably be, like, 260 by the time it's done. Oh, it's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. And, but, yeah, it's... I mean, at this point, yeah, pretty much all that's left is, you know, Transformers and Harry Potter for the summer.
What about G.I. Joe?
That turd.
I wonder if that rumor is true that Steven Sommers got fired off that movie.
I wouldn't be surprised. he shouldn't have even been hired in the first place. Yeah,
so. There's your problem.
Ugh.
They need to make more 80s movies, goddammit.
They don't have any 80s actors left, like 80s style, from the young generation anyway. There's no new Bruce Willis's or Tom Cruise's or Arnold's or Stallone's.
Yeah.
They just don't exist.
Hey, what do almost all those actors have in common?
They're all Republicans. Pretty close, anyway. I don't know what the hell Tom is, but...
He's assigned a Polygenologist.
He's a whatever the hell he feels like beingist.
There's gotta be some, like...
Didn't Bruce turn colors now, though?
I think I think he did turn colors, or...
But he was a Republican in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Back when he was killing everybody.
That's right.
I would challenge anyone to disagree with that fact on either side of the political spectrum. Like, all the best action movies were made by Republicans. Discuss below. But think of it.
Yeah.
Stallone, Bruce Willis, Arnold, Clint Eastwood. I mean,
oh yeah,
Kurt Russell, I might maybe guess. I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't do that much.
He made some good movies.
I like Kurt, but what did he make for action movies that were worth a shit? I didn't like Escape from New York.
Oh, and Tombstone!
Tombstone's
which
okay.
Had Charlton Heston in it. Oh, I watched the Omega Man the other day.
I can't believe you didn't say which had Bill Paxton in it.
Well, we're talking about obvious Republicans here.
Oh, okay. All right. Obvious Republicans. Eraser, another awesome movie.
Yes! Chuck Russell! He needs to make more fucking movies.
See, he should have made G.I. Joe.
Yes! That would have been awesome! Yeah, so...
Because Scorpion King wasn't a great movie, but it was a fun movie.
Oh, yeah, and he did Eraser, Kicks Ass. Yeah. Yeah, whatever happened to him?
I don't know. Because, Scorpion King did okay. I mean, it didn't make huge money or anything, but it was alright.
That Surrogates movie with Bruce Willis, that comes out this year.
Yeah, that comes out, in September, I think.
I'll go see that. It's got robots and Bruce Willis, and for the director of Terminator 3, sold.
Hell yeah.
That's kind of like The Matrix, too. It's like, no one leaves their house. They just have a robot do it for them.
Yeah.
But then someone starts killing people through their robots, and then Bruce Willis has to actually go outside and figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounded pretty cool.
Yep, and there's robots in it.
I can't believe it. Oh, yes, and Ben is going to go and see Transformers 2, despite his bad-mouthing it. But he knows he can't resist it. Because it is a movie with robots running
around.
It's
supposed to be 2.5 hours long. Do I have to go?
Well, the first one was about that long.
I know, and it was too long. Oh, Avatar is 3 hours long.
Ugh. God.
3 hours and 9 minutes, actually.
3 hours of 3D. Ugh.
Well, think about this. Here's something to think about. All these IMAX theaters. Like, having an hour-long space shuttle 3D, okay?
Yeah.
Think about... three times that much film stock you're having to make.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's like a three-hour movie, the negative's six times bigger. Two copies of it, since there's both eye views.
Yeah.
That's a fucking lot of stuff.
What are they going to charge, $16-17 for a ticket for that?
Well, I mean, we probably discussed this before, but even just printing up copies of a movie for release is $5 or $6 million.
But it's like seeing, just regular, stuff Harry Potter and IMAX and stuff like that. It's $13 or something, and, this
if I'm
is...
I'm going to see an IMAX movie, I want to see something that's actually done in IMAX.
Yeah.
Well, I guess portions of Transformers 2 is done in IMAX, a la The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight, yeah. Nice. So maybe that Blu-ray will be The Dark Knight one then, where it actually changes depending on the scene. It's if it was in IMAX or whatever, then it pretty much fills the screen and then it goes back to scope normally. So,
Michael Bay. Well, I guess I can't complain about there not being any 80s movies, because if anyone's making 80s
Michael
movies,
Bay.
It's Michael Bay.
He's trying to keep them alive as best he can. And God bless him.
Even like the Bad Boys movies, I mean, those are kind of like the profanity-filled cop movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the second one, like when they're driving through like Cuba or something, like just destroying everything.
Yep. Yeah, they have that chase scene where they like there's like that boat that somehow is like on a trailer that gets destroyed.
Oh yeah, they're throwing cars at people.
And yeah, it's just like anything possible that can get destroyed does. Kind of reminded me of that Terminator 3 sequence that way.
Oh yeah, that was
they
great.
They just destroyed freaking everything during that.
See, I like it. If a movie's gonna be expensive, destroy shit.
Yeah, like put the money on the screen.
Like, here's something. Like, I know you're a big fan of Casino, not Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
But that movie was like $225 million.
Yeah, I don't know how it cost that much, but I mean, it was a good movie. But yeah, I guess probably what made it cost so much is like I was watching the features on it, and they filmed more locations than any other Bond movie before. Like they filmed like in 10 different countries or some crazy shit like that on like 4 different continents.
Well, I guess that's more interesting than like Toronto doubling as everything.
Yeah, so I'm sure that was a lot of the cost right there. But I don't understand the logic there. I mean, I guess Casino Royale made a lot of money worldwide, but it's like, you know, domestically it made like 170 or so. Like Quantum of Solace made about the same amount domestically, I think globally. You know, it didn't do as well, but it still did pretty well. But it's like, well, let's spend, you know, like $75 million more than we did on Casino Royale on its sequel.
Casino Royale was a fairly conservative movie, wasn't it? Like, as far as, like, cost and whatnot? Cause
it still cost well over $100 million, though.
Here's one. Like, what about Angels and Demons? I mean, no one's calling that a failure, but it really hasn't made much more than Terminator.
It's, like, doing really well, like, internationally, though.
Gosh, I wonder if this is not even going to make movies for America anymore. I mean, the theatrical release is basically an advertisement for the DVD as it is.
Because I think, last I looked, like a week or so ago, I think Angels and Demons had made like $300 million internationally.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason, like, well, with the Da Vinci Code, too, it made like 500 some million of what it made was overseas.
You wouldn't think like a wordy movie like that would, you know, translate well. Well, let's look at the full daily chart. Box Office Mojo is a cool site you can go to. Oh, we probably better wrap this podcast up quickly.
Maybe because of the locales, you know, they're like set in Europe and all of that. Maybe that's part of the allure.
Oh, this doesn't have...
You just got to click on like Angels and Demons, wherever it is, okay, and then you'll see. And then it has it up.
Oh, yeah, 414 million worldwide. Jeez.
Yeah.
Look at, yeah, like 70% of it's overseas. I heard Terminator is doing better overseas.
Yeah, that one's, it's made about $100 million overseas, I think.
Yep.
Close, anyway. But, yeah. It's only going to get worse.
What do you mean?
Well, like we've talked about, where they're just going to, you know, with the economic times and all that, we'll just get more sequels and more remakes and everything, because they're supposedly safer bets.
Up hasn't even launched overseas yet.
Even though, you know, Pixar can come out with, you know, new ideas in every movie
and
they all make
successful
money.
Yeah.
For some reason, other studios can't seem to figure that out, though. I don't know why, but probably because they try to play it too fucking safe all the time.
Oh, Bill Cosby had a quote. He said, I don't know what the secret to success is, but the secret to failure is trying to please everyone.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right, well, we probably better let you go, but yeah, in a nutshell, yeah, we're not sure about Avatar. They need to be more 80s movies, and Catherine Zeta-Jones is still advertising T-Mobile.
And Transformers 2 will kick ass.
It'll make money. All right, until next time.
Adios.